Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
I don't think this is a sensitive topic. I think it's definitely...
It's personal.
Yeah, it's personal. But you and I were chatting earlier today about answering the phone while you're on the toilet.
Well, yeah, I was having a chat with our promo team who, you know, there's a new guy has just started with us and they were discussing how long it was going to be before they were answering the phone to one another on the toilet because they are constantly on the phone to one another.
Yeah, promotions runs...
About work stuff.
Runs hot, so things are always changing.
And I said there's only, what, three people in my life that I answer on the phone to and that's, like, my husband, my best mate, and probably you, Tim.
Oh, you lucky me. I get to go to your toilet with you.
Well, usually if you're calling me, it's something important, so I'll answer.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Because, like, what do you think's more uncomfortable? Answering the phone while you're on the toilet? Obviously, you shop stops. Like, you just...
Oh, yeah.
You don't just keep...
You're laying dormant.
Yeah, the volcano doesn't keep erupting. Do you feel more uncomfortable answering the phone on the toilet? Or, like, say if you've just gotten out of the shower and you're completely nude, do you feel more uncomfortable that way?
No, I don't mind answering the phone coming out of the shower. That's
weird.
Fine.
It's like you prefer it. You're like, I don't mind it.
Why?
It's like,
why?
An exciting, you're like, I hope someone calls me.
Why is that a bad thing?
No, it's not a bad thing. It just sounds like you're hopeful every time you get out of the shower.
Call me now. You'll have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel.
Because I think I'd be more uncomfortable answering the phone completely naked.
Really?
Than on the toilet. I don't know why. Because at least sitting, you're in a bit more of a bubble. But when you're standing up completely nude, even though it's not FaceTime, no one can see you.
Are you completely nude on the toilet?
No.
Yeah, well.
Well, that's, yeah, okay, that makes a good point. But I think, yeah, maybe I have an issue with nudity.
I think you do. Because, like, there's rarely a time that I have clothes on at home.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's normal. Again, because our household, we run a pretty clothed operation. Except for our son, Jack. He does quite enjoy nude time.
I'm much like your son, Jack.
It is my favourite thing to be greeted at 6:30 when I get home from the radio show. By my son completely naked at the front of the at the front door, just absolutely smearing himself up against the glass.
Stunning.
What a sight.
Yeah.
You know, parenthood. They don't tell you about that in the books. But, yeah, I don't... I think... Unless you can hear, like, there's a significant echo.
Yeah.
I think it is fine to answer the phone on the toilet.
I mean, they invented the mute button for a reason, didn't they?
So I've been looking at the spreadsheets. Just a second. Are you still there? You still there?
That's disgusting.
So I've been looking at the spreadsheets.
It was implied. You didn't need to perform it for us.
5223295.
No one's still listening. Are you kidding?
Yeah, that's fair.
Everyone's turned it off.
But should you answer the phone when you're on the toilet? Or do you think, like, just call them back?
Yeah.
Just call them back. Or if it's someone close to you, like your husband, your best friend, or me, the lucky holy trinity, is it okay to answer? Mark in Winchelsea, what do you think? Should you answer the phone on the toilet?
Yeah, I reckon it's okay because a lot of people are shitheads that you talk to anyway. So, you know.
That's a good point, Mark.
You just called up to to do that gag there,
Mark. That's why I answer the phone to Tim.
Yeah, like, oh, well, he must know. Yeah, something's in the air. Megan in Bell Park, have you got a zinger for us or what are your actual thoughts on this?
Look, I just think it depends on if it's a public toilet or your personal.
Oh,
like, if
that's a good point. Whoa. That's a good point.
I assumed we were all talking about our personal home toilets.
Who's answering the phone in a public space?
Oh, no.
Well, like, it depends. If mum calls me, I don't really care where I am. Like, I'll answer.
What?
But I don't know. If it's somebody else calling me and I'm trying to do my business out in public, it's kind of...
So,
you know.
Megan, let's just hypothetical here. You're out at Cariah Village. You're in the toilets. Not, I don't know why you'd go to the toilets at Cariah Village, but you're there.
It's an emergency, that's why.
You go in, your mum calls, you're midway through your session. Are you picking up the phone and having a full conversation?
Well, it's Cariah Village, so it'd be considered normal.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. It's my fault for putting that parameter on. Hello, mummy.
Hi, mummy. I'm just on the toilet. What do you want?
Okay. I mean, yeah, I apologize. I had only thought we were all talking about home toilets. I would never in a million
years. Megan's right, though. And like, cry village, no one would bat an eyelid.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the only other place I think it's acceptable is the public toilets on Moorabool Street, just near the bus stop here, across from the radio station. But besides that, everywhere else, it's off limits.
Hello, mummy. This is
Tim and Jess. And Jess, it's been a whirlwind of a 48 hours, I'll be honest. You've been bullying me. You've been pressuring me to provide evidence that I don't know if I fully can.
I just feel like, although you may be right, you may be wrong, I don't believe you have enough evidence to back up any of the claims you're making.
All I said on Wednesday was purple is not a real colour. It's something our brain does, because actually on the like the colour spectrum, it doesn't exist like other colours.
Right.
Like, and you did some research, Jess. You found some evidence that suggests that it might not be an actual colour.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a lot of conspiracy, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
There's only one person I trust, and that's Dr. Carl.
And we've got Dr. Carl on the show. Dr. Carl, thank you for swinging by this afternoon.
Dr. Tim, Dr. Jess, thank you for asking me.
I mean, we'll get straight into this, Dr. Carl, because it's been kind of a whirlwind for the last 48 hours. A lot of people messaging asking if I'm okay because they think I'm losing it, because I think, from what I've found, purple is not actually a real colour.
Okay, so first let's start with the rainbow. Now, you know that we've got seven colours in our version of the rainbow?
This is my argument yesterday, Dr. Carl, because I believe there are shades of purple in the rainbow.
Not quite, but let's look at the rainbow. There are seven colours in the rainbow that you and I in Western European society see. But if you belong to any one of another number of other societies around the world, you'll see between 4 and 16 colours.
Okay. Oh, wow.
It's a cultural thing. So the reason we have seven colours is because Isaac Newton, you heard of him? He was very religious. And he spent more time on religion than he did on science. And it turned out that he loved the fact that the number seven appeared in the Bible all over the place. So he shoved in that stupid colour called indigo. Mate, what the heck is indigo? Mate, it's just bloody blue. Yes. Give me a break. It's just stupid blue, right? So that's why we've got seven colours, because Isaac Newton added in indigo. In England, the United Kingdom at that time, there are only six colours. With regard to the colours of the rainbow, there's a whole bunch of them, each of an individual frequency. And it turns out that in our society, we register purple, and purple is not a single frequency band. Purple is green minus white, or rather white minus green. If
oh
you look at the shade, no, hang on, I'll run through it again. Suppose you get all of the colours of the rainbow and you then project them at you and you'll see white. And then we pull out green and always shining on your eyeball is red and blue, and suddenly you'll see purple. So it's manufactured inside your brain.
Dr. Carl, you don't understand how happy you've just made Tim, because he has been saying to me for the last 2 days, purple's just not green, and I haven't understood what he said, and now I get it.
Okay, now here's a trick for you to do next time you go on a picnic. Take a sheet of white paper with you.
Okay.
And then put it in the shade under a tree, in a total shade. No dap of light, just total shade. And if you look at it carefully, you'll see that it's slightly purple, not white.
Oh.
Because the green has been absorbed on the way through.
Oh, my God.
Do that experiment for fun.
I'll be honest, Dr. Carl. I've been reading so much online about this that I thought I might have convinced myself that I was crazy, that purple isn't a real colour. It's something our brain does, but when it's not green.
Yeah. But basically, it's the whole rainbow of colours, but you remove the green.
Wow.
And what's left over is red and blue. When that lands on your eyeball, your brain turns it into purple. And so there's electricity coming from your retina, from the red-sensitive cells and the blue-sensitive cells, but not the green-sensitive cells. And then your brain says, uh-huh, I'll make up this colour. What will I call it? Here comes Isaac Newton. I'll call it purple.
So in summary, Jess, purple is not a real colour.
Wow, you've tied that one up in a neat little bow, Dr. Carl, and we very much appreciate
it. You're a star, and stars write incredible books. Your new book, you have a new one called A Periodic Tale. Can you quickly tell us about your new book, Dr. Carl?
Any of you guys married?
Yes,
both of us married.
Okay, yeah, tell me your marriage proposal.
My husband proposed to me in a car park.
And I proposed.
And the words were?
And very similar, except it wasn't a car park. It was on a giant rock to my wife. And I said, will you marry me?
Ah, well, as an example of what you'll expect to find in this book, surprising, my marriage proposal was after we had three kids. And I rang up Mary on the phone. I said, hi, honey. I'm in a cheap hotel room in Southeast Asia, injecting opiate drugs into the buttocks of a young redheaded woman. And I know I'm not supposed to inject into the buttocks for some reason. I'm too tired to work out why. Why am I not supposed to inject into the buttocks? Where should I inject and where will, and will you marry me? And then the line went dead.
What?
Then we end up having a scientific wedding. So we end up getting married inside the Arctic Circle on the longest day of the year as a scientific metaphor, so that in the same way that the sun would not set on that day, then the love would not set on our marriage.
Aww.
And our eight-year-old daughter said, Daddy, you're being crazy, Daddy. The sun has to go down. And when she saw it, she was going, this is weird.
Dr. Carl, that's so beautiful.
It's beautiful. The book, again, A Periodic Tale. You can get it from any good bookstores. Dr. Carl, thank you so much.
Can't
for
wait
coming
to read it.
By the show.
Thank you very much.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
Saw something online that's pretty messed up. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I can't think of anything, maybe other than maybe my fridge. But bloke posted a photo of his car, said, left my car unattended, didn't use my car for a couple of weeks. When I opened it, this is what I found. Now, Jess, I've sent you a couple of photos. Can you please describe in the photos?
Oh, this
I've
is my worst
you?
Nightmare. This is my worst nightmare. Oh, yuck.
Well, can you, so you haven't described it
okay,
as
sorry.
Of yet.
It's a car and it looks like it's covered in mold.
Mold. Mold all across the steering wheel, the front two seats, and then in the back in particular, a massive outbreak of mold. Obviously, moisture was in there. The car, maybe the doors or the windows weren't fully sealed. And the moisture has just turned fully into mold and spread right throughout the car. You've got to get that thing professionally clean now.
That can happen in a matter of days as well. Like,
which is quite scary.
Yeah.
I know that you've had a coffee cup incident, but the whole car wasn't affected
Tim,
by that.
Tim, what haven't I had an incident in my car? I had a coffee cup that I left in there for many weeks to the point where it still had just a tiny bit of coffee in it. And so one day in the hot Queensland sun, because I was living in Queensland at the time, it exploded.
Like the mold just exploded.
Yep. And the coffee, what was left of it, exploded all over my car. There was also the time that I found an empty, what I thought was an empty KFC box under my seat. Hadn't eaten KFC for a while. I think it still had bones in it. I don't know. I didn't bother opening the box. I just shook it and I heard something and I went, bleh, and I threw it away. There was also the time I accidentally left Subway in the boot of the car. Again, I'd almost finished the wrap and then I like wrapped it up and like threw it in a bag and it had somehow gotten out in my boot. And I don't know how many months later. Do you need more examples?
I might be sick. Genuinely, the caves.
Me and my car, you know, we've had a tumultuous relationship.
You seem to be the factor of the relationship.
I left a lemon in there once. I didn't realize it had rolled out of one of my shopping bags. And then I was like, what is that smell?
Mold.
And it was a moldy lemon. And you know when you pick it up, it just goes.
Yeah, it's like fur. Well.
Can you imagine putting your hand through that? It was gross.
I've done that with cantaloupe. It was, I think it was after like a family Christmas.
Cantacope.
I can't cope at all, Jesse. I think one of the younger kids, this is when we were younger, but like one of the young kids must have been eating cantaloupe and thought, I don't like this.
Mm.
So they went into like the spare room at mum and dad's and just threw it in the wardrobe. And then I was cleaning and I was like, what is that? I was like, that's cantaloupe. And I went to grab it and my hand went through it. It's just not on. But I thought this could be a fun / disgusting chat. On 5223295, where'd you find mold?
Oh,
because
stunning.
Mold is not what you want to find, but sometimes it just pops up in really strange places.
Yeah, particularly in humid climates.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if there will be a market for this, like the audience, if this is something common.
I just gave you like 17 examples.
Yeah,
Tim.
I know, but you're real special. And not everyone's as special as you are. Jess, don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise, all right? 5223295. Where did you find mold? Who do you want to chat to first, Jess? We've had a few people get involved.
Let's go with Rick from Leopold. Rick, you and your daughter were just reminiscing about a time you found some mold, right?
So basically, you got to picture this. School day and my daughter Maddie likes scrambled eggs.
Sure.
And the eggs are gifts, you know, we receive eggs from the in-laws.
Oh, lovely.
And normally not a problem, but on this particular day, went to crack the egg and it broke in our hands, and it had obviously been heat damaged or in the shed for a bit, and it was just like green mold coming out. Ugh. And honestly, I was actually in the shower and I could hear people gagging, and I thought someone had there was gastro going through the house.
Oh God!
Dead set, like, and everyone was sort of just bolting out of the kitchen, and I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, Rick, I can't imagine the smell was a good one.
Oh, mate, we're just chatting, oh, Matt, where have we found mold? And we're like, oh, that's right, the egg. And, it's probably going to stay with us for life.
Yeah, that is, I didn't expect that at all, inside of the egg. That's, yeah. And like, being exposed to oxygen for the first time.
It's no good. And if Mary and Jerry are listening, we haven't actually tested some eggs for a bit. We've just sort of been buying them lately. And every time I crack an egg now, I'm just a little bit apprehensive.
Probably for all the right reasons.
This is why they tell you when you're baking, Tim, to crack an egg separately in a separate bowl.
That makes sense. Kiara in Lara has also given us a call. Kiara, where did you find mold?
So I wasn't the one that actually found the mold. It was my mother. I was around 3 at the time in the back of the car, and I often got drinks whenever we went out for a drive. And I loved strawberry milkshakes at the time.
Oh, no.
And, I must have accidentally dropped some or let it spill all over the back floor. And it's just, my mum didn't actually notice until a while after. Either she saw or she forgot to clean it up. But it was a while. We'll come back from a drive, and she's like, what's that smell? That smells horrible. And little me, I'm like, don't know, probably the milkshake.
The milkshake that I spilled last week, Mum. Come on.
Yeah. So we hop out, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watching her rifle through the back of the car. She's like, oh, Kiara, what is this? She's freaking out on me. Strawberry milkshakes do not smell very nice.
I thought it might take some of the kick off the mold, but no.
I love that you started this story with, it wasn't me. It was absolutely directly you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't find it, but I forced it.
Yeah,
that's he who found it.
Yep.
Dealt it.
Vomited first in the back of the car.
This is Tim and Jess.
I've asked Will from the newsroom to come in here, Jess, and I know you don't know what's going on.
No.
Thank you for coming in, Will.
No, thank you.
Will and I were during your absence for the long weekend for the cup. On Monday, Will and I were having a bit of a chin wag, and I asked him a question.
Will looks so worried right now.
No. I'm Will, not worried at all. Will knows what's going on. I'm worried for you because we're going to ask you a question, and there is only one right answer.
Oh.
Should we
skip ahead and just like know that I've got it wrong? Like, is that why are we wasting everyone's time?
I have faith in what you'll answer.
Yeah, it's misplaced faith, my friend. But okay, go on.
He hasn't known you as long as I have. But if you're listening right now, you can play along. You can answer this question to yourself. But do know there is only one correct answer. When I asked this question to Will on Monday, Will got it exactly right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I'll set the scene because pretty important.
This makes me feel sweat and my palms are immediately sweaty. Immediately.
Jessica.
Timothy.
If you had to be a bird, what bird would you be? Now, remember, there is only one correct answer.
Give me some parameters.
It's got to be a bird.
Naturally.
No so parameters.
No penguins. Okay. No parameters. They're the two big ones.
Penguins are birds, aren't they?
That's another question.
I don't want to pick it, so it's fine.
Okay. You're thinking too hard about this.
Okay. So maybe talk to us about some birds you're ruling out before you just tell us what you end up with. But we'll work our way there.
I mean, first bird that comes to mind, pigeon. Who wants to be a rat of the sky? Ruling that one out.
Okay. Interesting, Will, right? Mm.
Seagull. I feel like they get a lot of extra scraps. I love a scrap.
Mm.
But you've
steered clear of the majestic birds.
Yeah,
so
well, they seem like the wusses of the sky. Do you know what I mean? So you don't really want a seagull.
No.
I do want to go for like more of a bird of prey.
Right.
Being a Hawthorn supporter, I'm gravitated towards the hawk.
A lot of birds above the hawk on the pecking order.
Are there?
On the literal pecking order. I gotta say,
I don't mind a vulture.
Any eagle.
Vultures are kind of at the top of the pecking order, aren't they?
Do you really want to be a vulture?
Yeah. They again scrap based. So
They're like basically giant seagulls.
It's more of an albatross. But the kings of the sky, the kings and queens of the sky, are condors, which are found in Argentina.
What's a condor?
The biggest bird in the world. Their wingspan's like 6-something feet. Isn't that right, Will?
Jesus.
Sure.
Sorry, I've realised I know a lot more about birds.
See,
than
like
Will.
I didn't go to condor. I went to bin chicken. Like
you went to an ibis.
Interesting.
I definitely want to be a bird that flies, so I've got to rule a chicken out.
All right. I think we've had enough elimination. On the count of three, and remember, there is only one correct answer.
Mm-hmm.
3, 2, 1. Get the question. If you had to be a bird, what bird would you be?
Eagle.
Oh.
Damn it.
Oh, Jess, that's so sad.
What? What's the answer?
Will, let her know.
Did you even consider the flawless bird that is the pelican?
Pelican?
Pelican.
Oh, don't give me that.
Absolutely shut your mouth.
The pelican.
It is quite literally the only correct answer.
The bumbling 100%. Buffoon of the sea world.
Oh, please. The bumbling buffoon.
Did you say baboon?
Buffoon. I said buffoon. And I meant
it. We'll go back and check that. I'm not certain you said
the bumbling baboon of the sea
world. Sky. Okay, yeah. Pelican is 100%.
Pelican.
100%. And now...
You choose pelican over the majestic eagle.
Will and I have since been texting about pelican sightings.
I feel like you have led the witness here because you mentioned majestic.
That very night, sitting on a pole.
Doing nothing except going with his little gulls.
Exactly. Exactly.
Where was it, Cunningham Pier?
Yeah.
I saw two flying over Armstrong Creek. What do you got? What are you? Beautiful.
Just sitting on its pole in the water, minding its own business.
I'd rather be a seagull. World. I'd rather be a seagull.
If you're looking for scraps, who's got the mouth to handle scraps? A pelican. They're beautiful. They're big. They're bigger than you think.
If there is a clownfish in peril looking for its son, who comes to the rescue?
Hadn't considered Finding Nemo.
I hadn't.
Spoiler alert, but if it wasn't for that pelican and Finding Nemo, that never would have happened.
There you go. If you didn't answer pelican, you're wrong, unfortunately. But
well, I did mention that I'd disappoint you in the beginning, so I feel like you have no one to blame but yourself.
Could have saved 5 minutes.
Come on! Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best! Goodbye.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.